old friends, Mike Reed with Doyle Helopter and Rob Adams. DaleWallyShow.com, D-Deep and Rubber. And it's officially live. I'm talking to both Jim Helopter and Rob Adams, and we're hoping to have Mike Reed on here soon, but I'm already glad to have you two guys on here. And so let's just talk about the band that you were in. Tell me about that band.
Rob, you know how that went, how that started, ain't ya? It goes way back. When I first met Rob, we've been church buddies for a long time, and
right.
I bought a guitar the first time, and I asked him, this is way back before when we were playing with Mike.
Right.
And I asked him, hey, do you play bass or anything? And he goes, no, but I can start. And that's how I got together with Rob, starting the first band, me and him. And it's just a funny story. My dad bought an amp for my guitar, electric guitar. Uh-huh. And so Rob comes over, we're going to practice. And he goes, what song do you want to learn? I go, hey, how about BTO, Not Fragile?
All right.
So Rob hooks in. Rob hooks the bass. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. Fine.
I can hear
Rob
you, buddy.
Rob hooks the bass. Okay. Rob hooks in the amp that I just got brand new. And start hitting that low end, da 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 da, and all of a sudden the speaker just went and blew the speaker right off the bat. And I go, man, this guy's gonna be good.
That's good.
It was gonna be good.
That's a good reaction, dude, to have that.
So well, we've been
in too kind.
Exactly.
Well,
other than that, then we played in various little bands, and then we met Mike. And that's how we started Rock Bottom.
Right. So just tell me about
we
that.
Had an ad. Wasn't an ad?
Yeah, that's what I thought I remembered. It was,
was that from an ad, Rob?
And we both went and played with Mike and a keyboard player in a house over by SMS initially.
That's right. That's right. That's something else. And then... Gosh, how long did we play? Like a year with them?
Yeah,
it's been so long. It's been what? 19?
There he is coming on. Let's see where he is. There he is.
All right.
Let's see. Mike, I'm making you live here in just a second. Let's see here. You want to be live. You do. I know it. See, there it is. You're on the screen. Look at us. This is new.
Man. Wait, which way did I point? There's Jim. Oh, my gosh.
Jim is over here.
It's the Brady Bunch. Brady Bunch.
Definitely.
This way. How you doing, Mike?
Jim and Rob. Jim is my favorite.
Hey, Mike.
Jim is my favorite Kiss guitar player, man. We'd always go in his room where his parents couldn't hear us and just, he'd play. I'd go, play this song, play this Kiss song, play this Kiss song. He knew all of them after he put the makeup on.
Yeah, then, that was a lot of fun.
Hey guys, man, good to see you. I've got a picture of the old Rock Bottom school bus I was going to bring. I don't know where it's at.
Right.
I'm old.
That'd be great. I forget.
And Mr. Dale Wiley, Dale always, every day he goes, there he is. There he is.
Right.
And someday I'm just going to stick a puppet up there. man, this 4 o'clock thing, I'm telling you, when I sign in, I've just walked through the front door back to my computer. Bam. Man, could we make, we need to change it to like 4:10 or something.
Well. There you go.
No, it's okay. Man, it's good to see you guys.
Good to see you, Mike.
Likewise. Definitely.
You made it to the doctor's appointment all right?
Oh, guys, man, I don't know. I may have to open up the Peg Leg Pirate Show or something. No, I went today. I was all worried about because I took x-rays the other day. It's down by my heel. And because it's healing, but down... as you get on down in there, where it's kind of hard to see even with the little doctor light. Right. So he wanted to take some x-rays to make sure to see why. Is there a, sorry to say fungus, it's not fungus. What is it? Infection, that's it. And so today I got there and the nurse goes, well, the doctor wanted us to set you up an MRI for Monday on my foot. Yeah, so now I get to go to, and I said, I was freaking out. I go, so were the x-rays, did they turn out bad or something? And she goes, let me look through the paperwork. No, it says x-rays all turned out fine. The doctor just wants to get a better look, you know, so he can tell what he's doing. But back September 1st, this is how this whole thing started when, you know, the hospital did an MRI and then took me to the operating room and said, do you know why you're here? No. We're going to cut your leg off or amputate your leg. And I was like, no, you're not. No, 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 no. So, I mean, that's kind of back where it all started. Not that that's what will happen Monday, but it's a little scary. But, you know, I mean, because they'd said it might have a bone disease down in my heel or something. But this is right at the side of my foot. And it was also on the bottom of my heel on the underneath side. And that's healed. That's all healed. So I think if I would think if there's some type of little disease thing going on, that the underneath right there wouldn't have healed either. So, and I talked to Steve. Steve's got me coming out to the Cowboy Church on Sunday.
Wow, that's fantastic. And so let's hear from Jim and Rob.
Yes, let's do.
Tell me about that.
Go ahead, Jim.
Jim, I heard you guys said I was just the business guy, always keeping everything in order. Until you guys took my bus and drove it home. I didn't even know where my bus was. I'm like, yeah, my bus was disappeared. But
we had to take it to a car wash to get all cleaned out.
That's rock and roll, man. Hey, that's a. And Rob was telling me about the gig at Columbia at the frat house.
Right.
I forgot all about that gig. Oh my gosh, that was fun though. We didn't do a ton of gigs, but the ones we did were fun. We did a lot of them. Oh, yeah, you guys talk. I talk every day. Jeez.
Jim, I want to hear from Jim. What's going on, Jim?
What's all? Well, I remember when I first met Mike, you know, we were playing in this band. He had this super cool TA. You still got that TA, Mike?
Well,
Trans Am, you still have your Trans Am?
No, but some guy's been writing me on Facebook saying, hey, you remember when we used to have the TAs and we would drive through Springfield and throw water when it rained and throw water up in the air?
Right.
I saw his picture. I don't know who this is, but he knows me. And we used to drive our TAs around Springfield and throw whatever they call that, you know, when the water is going up in the air. So that's funny you should say that because.
Old Rooster Tail.
He's probably watching now going, I can't believe you don't remember.
Well, I remember that. That was a.
Which color was it? Was it the black?
I wonder who that was. Probably Randy Martin.
What color was it?
It was the black one. You had the black.
The bird. And the bird all painted. The custom bird on the hood. I had a guy that paints funny cars. Yeah. Airbrushed a bird. All in candy apple colors on the hood. Yeah, it was very sure. It was a one-of-a-kind thing. Yeah. And yeah, it was. I was the leader of a rock band. I was Sammy Hagar. I was supposed to have a sports car. Hey. Ha.
It's a sweet ride for sure, Mike.
That's right, man.
What year was this?
Yeah. Event? What year? I think it was a 78, I think.
Is that right?
76?
Yeah,
maybe
77. Yeah, 78. Right in there. Okay.
So what do you do?
I'm sharp.
Because you got a lot of friends. What do you do in music now? What do you play?
Well, right now I'm playing with a kind of a alternative. Huh?
What do you play?
Alternative country. country band. It's called the Pop Skull Rebel.
Okay.
I play guitar.
That's awesome. And so where do you play? Where?
It's we've been doing this for about 4 years.
Where?
We play at Knuckleheads up here, the Ryan.
He plays tuba too, yeah. I think.
And then we traveled down. What's that?
Another. Somebody said they thought you played tuba.
Well, okay, I do on the side. That's only. Play, Rob's production company's got us down in Springfield. We played at the Riff before.
Wow.
And then another lady down there named Barb, we played at the Shuffle. Are those still open, Shuffle, still open down there?
I don't know.
Still? Yes, sir. Still going strong, both of them.
It is, Rob?
Yes, sir, both venues.
And then Rob's got us a few gigs strong up here. Yep, and it's been with us. And it's been a good, fun ride. You know, we started about 4 years ago. Was in a band called the Rumble Jets for about 12 years. It kind of ran its course. Yeah. So we started in 98, the Rumble Jets. And then about 2013, we just, you know, the band went its way, you know, we'd done enough, just wasn't growing. So we decided, I decided to start another band.
Okay.
That's the Pals. And the reason, the name Pop Skull, got this from my wife and I went down to Nashville,
right?
And we were just having a vacation and went to Franklin and went to this old Civil War museum. Okay. And I saw this little bottle, clear bottle, and it said Pop Skull. And I go, what's that? And it's an old homemade corn whiskey that the soldiers made out in the field because they didn't have anything else to make, you know, for alcohol. So they brewed their own or fermented their own whiskey. So I go, hey, that might be a cool name for a band.
Yeah, definitely.
Where the name came from. But yeah, I've been playing with these. Yeah, I've been playing with these guys to the present right now.
Well, I've seen you on Facebook and on the internet.
A lot of fun.
Pop Skull, so that's
cool. You need to come and sit in on with us.
Absolutely. It's cool to know that you're the Pop Skull guy. That's very cool.
Yeah, I'm going to come and watch.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're awesome, too. Jim's awesome. Jim's very humble. He's a great guitar player, very accomplished.
Unless Jim just took, Jim just decided to not say he's any good, he was plenty good back then. I was amazed at Jim's guitar playing back in those days. And we could literally sit at his house in his bedroom or somewhere. And about any song I would mention, if it was kind of in the 80s or whenever we were playing, even if he didn't know it, he could play it. Weren't you playing? Were you playing a Les Paul? Is that what you were playing?
Yeah, the Sunburst Les Paul. It's probably a 76 model.
Yeah.
I wish I never traded it. It's long gone somewhere.
Sweet guitar.
Well, thank you, Mike, for the compliment. I appreciate that. I remember Mike, when we both ordered Ibanez Iceman Paul Stanley guitars. Do you still have that guitar?
What is,
no way,
what
is that? It is.
Speaking of the devil. Oh,
you know what I did, Jim? You know what I did? Yeah, we both bought those. And I ended up selling mine to a friend of mine from Silver Dollar City, and he learned how to play it. And then he sold it to some guy in Europe. And that's one of those, wow. Oh, my gosh, I wish I'd never. And then last year, Ibanez came back out with it last year. They were $1,000.
Wow.
And I got on Zazown, Z-Z-O-U-N, and because you can get they ship it to you in 2 days and no tax and no interest or anything, payments. Boom, bought it. So it's back in my arms again. I haven't. I play it a little bit in the house and that's it.
That's awesome.
More with the Rock Bottom Band after a break. Knee Deep in Rubber.
because there was something in the water in Springfield, Missouri.
Hey, don't forget me. I'm Brenda Lee, and we're all going to have fun tonight on Ozark Jubilee.
There you go.
To the Missouri Music Podcast, hosted by music fan and the founder of Slewfoot Records, Mr. Dale Wiley.
My name is Dale Wiley. Welcome to Shining Star. I'm going to tell you a story my dad kept from me despite the fact that he and I were very close. Now he's got dementia and he can't tell all that he knows. But what I never understood is, while he took me around to see all kinds of concerts and baseball games and political events, why he never told me about the Shining Star. Come along as I do some digging and find out the details from friends about what a miraculous story and what a miraculous dad my dad was, Robert Wiley. He was a lawyer for many years and a better person. Hear his story of what nearly derailed him.
Certainly he was a role model to me, and I tried to emulate him.
Right.
Helped me when I got started. In fact, probably kept my family alive until I became prosecutor.
I just went back to his integrity that he wasn't going to hand anything out.
There weren't anybody or didn't anybody better than your dad.
We're setting up a Heroes and Miracles website at heroesandmiracles.org or heroesandmiracles.crypto if you'd like to send some digital cash our way. We're so thankful, and I'm so glad that you're along for the mission of all these things that we're doing and the lives that we're changing through Heroes and Miracles. And thank you to my dad for being the best dad ever and telling and not telling me the story. My dad kept from me the fact that he had won a Bronze Star in Vietnam, and the miraculous story of how that came to be and all the things that I learned in getting there. It's a miracle story. Listen to all four episodes and learn the story of the Shining Star. More Knee Deep in Rubber, Dale Wiley Show and KneeDeepInRubber.com.
You just hear some strutter.
It's awesome. And then
that is cool.
This one's still pretty awesome.
Yes.
The white flying V. Jim.
Yeah, I remember that. Wow.
Jim, you need to start playing. If you don't. These cigar box guitars, three strings. They're tuned G, D, G. Oh, so they're tuned in G. And everything you play is just one finger.
Yeah. And
then you can add little riffs and slide. You should find one of these sometime. Or we'll get together.
That's awesome.
This is the coolest thing. You can take somebody that doesn't know how to play guitar and show them how to play songs in like 5 minutes.
Right.
But
that's cool.
I started playing that this last year, and gee, that's about all I play now. That and a washboard. But you guys keep talking. Cool. I talk all the time.
Got a wash?
So your Iceman's gone, but I got one. Yeah. It's because I was the boss. Yeah.
He said he plays washburn. You meant a washboard.
Yes, that's right.
A washboard.
I don't even know where it's at. It used to be in here the other day. Yeah, I play a washboard that's like a rhythm thing. It's all rhythm stuff. And it's got bells and all kinds of stuff. And they put me on America's Got Talent. I didn't have the audition. I got a call one day from them. I knew they were trying to, and I got a call, and the lady goes, "Is this Mike Reed?" I go, "Yeah. Who's this?"
Well, this is like Jessica from NBC, America's Got Talent. How's your day? I said, I'll tell you as soon as you tell me why you called my number. She goes, well, you're on the show this year. You'll be in Austin, Texas. And I'm like, yeah! Of course, that was the last year Howard Stern was there, and he was so mean to me. He goes, are you a married man? I go, no. I can see why no woman would want some guy like you to play something stupid like that. And I'm like, well, I haven't even started yet. And Sharon Osbourne, oh, my gosh. I play this thing, and Sharon goes, well, you play it kind of like you're playing a guitar. I go, I am a guitarist. She goes, and I'll never, the day I die and I'm laying there in my casket or in a jar, wherever I'm at, I'll hear these words. She goes, but it's just a piece of wood. No. It's just a piece of wood. I wanted to go, your husband's just a piece of wood too. So, oh my gosh. So but what? I got to do the show, and yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
What year
what is next for Rob Evans Productions?
Yeah.
Pardon?
What's next for Rob Adams Productions?
I got a show in Kansas City at Knuckleheads the 16th of April with Tommy Two Tone. That's the next show.
I know that there are other plans for all that stuff, and so it's
Do you know a lot of the bands in Kansas City? Are you guys? There was a band called Charlie and the Stingrays. Charlie he's a phenomenal singer. He used to be my sound man a long time ago. And then there's a drummer that I used to have named Alex or Frank Delacaris. In fact, he had a drum set one time that he made up that looked like Elmo, is all furry. And he was on Drummer Magazine and all that stuff. But I used to play Kansas City all the time.
Yeah.
In the old days. Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. But, it's a great music scene. I mean, right now it isn't, but it's a great scene.
That's right. Tell me about the Rumble Jets. Tell me about that.
Well, we started that back in '90. I was always back in 1978, going way back, is when I bought my first Gretsch down at a pawn shop on Commercial Street in Springfield. So I always was fiddling with rockabilly stuff. Uh-huh. And then eventually decided to start a three-piece band, you know, because I like the Stray Cats a lot.
Oh, yeah.
And we just started with the three-piece and had a lot of different rotations of people playing. All these great musicians have played through it, these guys. And we just, about 2012, jumping ahead, we went over to Europe and did a little mini tour summers.
Yes.
Wow. That was a lot of fun. And we've a couple CDs we recorded down at Sun, like in 2005. A lot of fun. Ooh. They got to meet Scotty Moore and all those guys.
That's so fun.
They had a big 50 years for rock and roll and Sun Studios and play. And we got to play right before Scotty Moore. That's my favorite. That's my idol,
Scotty.
And he was so pleasant, all those guys. And Rumble Jets was a lot of fun. We did a lot of stuff with that band and met a lot of great people. And it was just a really good time.
Well, and also I want to make sure that I ask you about Lou Whitney because I noticed he was a friend on Facebook as well. Tell about Lou.
Yep. This is a way back. Yeah, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I met Lou through Randy Martin, a buddy of mine that we used to run around, and his mom was married to Jim Martin, and he owned Column One Studios down in Springfield.
That's the guy.
And Lou was an engineer.
Yeah, Dale, that Randy was Martin? The guy I was trying to remember his name that had the Columns for Studios. Yeah, that was him. He took me in and recorded me doing some stuff. I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah, but it was just back in his name. Yep. And so we would always run around in Randy's car. Always had these fast cars, like 72 Monte Carlo and all this stuff. So anyway, we'd always run over there to the studio, get a soda or a beer, you know. And there was Lou, you know. That's why I met Lou. He was always engineering there. Yes. And super nice guy. And that was the first time, probably in 78 wow. or 79 is when I first met wow. Lou. And recorded with him another band I was playing about early Bendel Stiffs. And we were a alt country rock, a roots rock. And we had this one engineer come in with Lou, his name Bill Halverson, okay. and he did some producing with Neil Young. Wow. He did the Ohio sessions and stuff. Anyway, we got, I don't know how we got hooked up. I think Mike Niewall, the singer, he got hooked up with Bill, and then Bill goes, let's go down to Lou's studio, and we did like a 5-song EP down there.
Right.
And that was a lot of fun. It was just a blast. And then Lou moved after that. He bought the studio from right. Jim, I believe, and then moved down South Street,
right.
called the studio. So yeah, throughout the years, so he was such. And his wife Kay, super nice. Right. She was a photographer and stuff.
Sure was.
And I haven't seen her in ages, though. Yep.
Also,
that's how I knew Lou, just from.
Tell me about Sun Studios recording there.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. After we played that 2005 show in July, James, the recording engineer down there, invited us, hey, you want to do some recording? Go, yeah, oh, that'd be awesome. And right. like about 3 months later, we went down there and did an album with called Cool Down Baby with the Rumble Jets. Man, that was just a blast. You know, you get to sit in that little small studio. Has you guys all been to Sun?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just a neat place. We were just right down in there and did live tracks. And then we probably did one overdub on like some leads. And we were there on a weekend. We went on a Thursday, Sunday and had a CD already done. So it was a lot. The engineer was James Lott. He's still down there in Memphis. He plays guitar and super nice guy.
Right.
But it's changed. Sun Studios is like when we were there, the upstairs was a record store, but now right. it's like a full museum and they really fixed it up really right. nice. But when we were there, it's rough around the edges, but I like that. It's yes. cool. You know, Sun Studios, it's a cool place.
Have those microphones in that room, no doubt. It's been a rock and roll history, definitely.
Rob, oh, yeah. Yep.
Rob, have something you ever been else. There?
Yes, I have. I used to have customers in Memphis back when I was with the phone company, and I went to Memphis about once a month, so I got to know the city very well. Love
That's
Memphis.
Wonderful. There's a lot of fun.
But I never recorded there. That's a great story, Jim.
Definitely. I'm
very fortunate you and the guys to record there. Fun. And like you said, a lot of history made in that room, rock and roll history.
No doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a, on the piano there, there's a burnt key on there where Jerry Lee Lewis left his cigar burned. Right. And there's like one of the Ivy keys. That's that's a cool story.
Yes.
They don't tell you that much. There's like, yeah, he burnt the key. Yeah, some cool history there.
Anything with Jerry Lee is a cool story. That's always guaranteed.
Hey, so, Jim.
Yes.
Is that all you're doing right now is playing music?
Yeah.
See, I was always a firm believer. If you're going to play music, do it and make a living that. I mean, that's your profession, you know. I mean, there's so many guys try to just go out and play on the weekend here and there, but if you're going to play the weekend, why not just go ahead and do it? I mean, there's plenty, Rob knows, there's plenty of room out there for talent. I mean, it's just you need people like Rob out there putting you in the place.
Right. But
this all sounds pretty fascinating.
That's correct.
Rob, do you play anymore?
No,
I have a little acoustic guitar that I strum around on. I'm a campfire player.
Yeah.
No. You played with Pat Dobler and everybody down there in Springfield.
We have a little band in Springfield that we get together for reunions or just to have fun. Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
Who played drums with us when we played?
Dale
Daniel.
Mm-hmm. Who was
the
it?
One and only.
Dale
Daniel.
That's why I know him.
Oh, I remember Dale.
Yeah, I remember the name. I just can't picture him, but.
Right. Yeah, he was awesome. Very accomplished.
And now professional. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he's living.
Yep.
Yeah, we were laughing because we were talking about how we rehearsed in the little office spaces where Planned Parenthood was. I mean, we had our own little, you know, our own little private room. We could go, we had to wait till they were all out of their offices, and then we'd go in there and there was cabinets and drawers and you name it, everything in there. We just fit in wherever we could, and it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah, that was fun. How many times a week did we practice there? We practiced quite a bit, didn't we?
Yeah, like, we were rock stars at practicing. Yeah, we were. We practiced way more than we practiced for no money. Way more than we played for money. Put it that way. But we were having fun. We were having fun. I mean, well, Jim's the one that introduced me to Rob, because Jim's like, well, I know a bass player, and I'm like, well, cool. Let's get him, get a hold of him. And I don't even know exactly how I met you, Jim. How did I meet you?
Was it at the rock shop, or I can't remember, Mike.
I thought it was an ad at the rock shop.
I don't know.
It could have been the rock shop, because that was
the bulletin board. Yeah.
That was cool. You're if you grew right. up in Springfield right. and you actually got to go to the rock shop. That was
right.
Those guys knew everybody in there. Between them and between Mark Morton and then John Gott, and then John did his dynamite light stuff, you know. Yep. And then it was just a cool time. Then the Edge came along, which changed their name several times, and I was telling them I was in Nashville one time and King's X was going to be there. And I have a friend that was a huge King's X fan. And so I went over and I found their bus. I knocked on the bus and a bus driver, somebody said, yeah. I said, is Doug Pinnick there? He goes, yeah. Who's looking for him? I said, tell him Mike Reed. And he said, Mike Reed. And Doug Pinnick, I'm running. You know, what is he? He's like 7 foot tall or whatever, you know. He jumps out of the bus. He goes, man. And then he's like, do you know where there's a repair shop to do some stuff on my bass? Well, in Nashville, there's 1,000 repair shops. So I said, there's a good one right down the street here. So he got in my car and we went. So I went to pick up my friend that is King's X is the band of the universe to him. I said, yeah, well, you don't know who was sitting right here in this seat today, because we were going to the concert. And he goes, who? And I go, Doug Pinnick. And I go, gee whiz, man, I thought the guy was going to freak out. But I told those guys, I said, you guys ought to come out with an album that's called Back Where We Came From and just do all old Beatles stuff like you used to do.
Right.
And Ty was like, oh man, I don't know if we want to go back to those days or not. He goes, that's bad memories. He goes, we suffered, you know, we were broke all the time. But Springfield, Dale, the center of nowhere, that all falls in the same thing. I mean, look at King's X. Those guys,
Exactly.
And if you knew those guys or ever watched them, gee whiz, I mean, Jerry on the drums, just all those guys, Ty Tabor on guitar, they are such talent. And
another
monster player.
What, Doug's like, what, 100 years old now or something? Still looks like he's like 30 or something like that?
I'm going to go ahead and cut this off because this is running long. But
hey, thanks a lot.
More fun tomorrow.